Johnny, I think in the past, Johnny, you remember, I think I recall you saying that PG&E was giving money, but it had to be a like government entity, right?
There was a PG&E program that was slated for fire safe councils. So that was the catalyst when we didn't have one, because that's kind of when I pushed for us to establish one, because we weren't able to pursue those funds.
There was also a couple of counties that got a eucalyptus removal grant based on it was skewed. It sounded like it was like a climate issue, and it had to do also with native species. So I think you could start looking at it as an invasive species, and maybe find that there's some funds available there.
I mean, there are a lot of things we can do that I think FSPA is probably the best way to do it. And I guess I'm going to volunteer myself to work on some of these things. But in anything you can do as a board to help out is going to be very useful.
For the district to pursue. Yes. Sorry, Shannon.
I've got a run. My wife is waiting out there.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Bill.
That's awesome. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Sorry, Shannon. I've been looking that way.
Sorry.
You could have just gone with me.
Exactly what is it that we are being asked to look at here? Let me complete my question. On one hand, I just heard him say that there may be 500 of these places. Why not? And at $3,000, that's a lot of money. Are we talking about getting a grant to handle this? Or are we talking about taking it out of the funds that the board has? What is the program that we're looking at?
We're
I think.
primarily looking at establishing an initiative so we can develop all those fine-tooth things. So, right now, we don't have a eucalyptus focus. And what I'm starting to see is a lot more interest in removing the trees, collective interest, especially with neighbors that are west of the Arlington. So, residents west of the Arlington that have the problem with the eucalyptus trees on their lots are saying, we'd love to be able to do this, but the program that you currently have doesn't allow us to continue removing these trees, even if we wanted to refill our funds on a year-to-year basis and help doing that. So what are we supposed to do? Just sell our house to remove them? And then what? So it's the current program, and this is why I want us to get away from focusing on the magnitude of how many trees there are and how there's no real sustainable funds within Kensington to address all the trees. Let's just focus on that we need to start focusing on the trees somehow and develop sustainable ways to educate the residents on how we can address some of the issues that the trees cause about debris cleanup around the base of them, maybe incorporate that to existing chipping days, maybe model some of our programs off of Berkeley that have the cleanup around the base of these trees. But also it's for us to establish a path forward to identifying opportunities like grants by establishing this very clear program that we need to focus on so we can pursue additional funds from outside of Kensington.
So basically, you have to get options.
I don't understand where Johnny wants to go.
So basically,
And the way I approach things from the business world is that, you know, this group is going to take care of the cost of it. We're going to go out and look for funds to do it. We're going to do it out of our surplus money in our budget. How is it that we're going to do it, and where are we? What trees are we going to include? Are we going to include those in the cemetery area? I don't consider that to be an immediate threat compared to up closer to the top of the hill. And none of these trees, by the way, are even above the Arlington. So how do we make decisions on how it is that we want to go forward with this? And then beyond that, where do we stop? I mean, I went on the website to look and see what other trees are very flammable, and there's a bunch of them. It's not just eucalyptus. Here's pine, fir, spruce, juniper, cedar, and bamboo. I mean, all so are we going to go now first from the eucalyptus to the next one to the next one to the next one? What is our game plan here? I just don't understand it.
So that's the whole point. We're talking about the idea of creating an initiative to solve the. So some of those that you mentioned, the juniper and spruce and stuff, are incorporated already in the hazardous vegetation grant. So this really addresses more of the eucalyptus and the costs in certificate. And also, even if you have eucalyptus down slope, I saw the fire modeling for a fire out of Tilden that battalion chief, former battalion chief Rapallo did.
Rapallo.
Yeah.
Rapallo.
And he did, it had embers coming up and over and like not on the ridge, it down in lower
Depending
Tennessee.
upon wind conditions, it can
Correct.
go 2 miles. I get that.
Yeah. And so I mean, something to consider is that it. All of Kensington, any eucalyptus in Kensington should be considered hazard. And then also, this is the beginning of the discussion. Like all the questions you're asking, that's what would be this a subcommittee would be talking about. There, yeah. So all the questions you have, perfect. Get that into that subcommittee and start working on those types of questions. Yeah.
Are you going to make a separate committee for that?
So, yeah, I was actually just thinking.
Maybe we can just keep it within hazardous vegetation removal because having a separate committee is trading more availability for time for meetings
Yeah, I
with
agree.
additional people.
Is everyone okay with that?
But
You
David
have
has his
that?
hand up.
Oh, okay. And then you're on hazardous vegetation, right? Okay, so you don't have to do just General Manager Randa, go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate Johnny's approach, what I just heard. And I think we can't jump to conclusions or get ahead of ourselves. It's a step-by-step process. So, with Johnny's take on what I just heard and working with the subcommittee, and hopefully the ability for me to interact from the standpoint of board interaction as well as any costs that might be involved in this program. I think that we can come up with a pretty good program in, I don't know, in the near future, I'm going to say.
Great.
I
Great.
second that.
Second. I second too. Excellent.
Great job, Tony.
Yeah. Thank you, Johnny, for bringing this to our attention. And thank you, General Manager, for seeing the path forward. Yay. So, and you're good. Do you see how that's going? Okay.
Well,
All right.
taking off
So
that then
I think
for
we're done with that
with
one. Let's see.
there's still portions of this item that I have to go through.
Okay, go ahead.
So qualifying vegetation removal for off-street parking and
Okay.
evacuation route improvements. It seems now with us full steam ahead with doing off-street parking for red flag days and impacting surrounding streets with additional cars that will need to be parking somewhere else other than that main corridor. Residents are looking for ways to take their cars off the street by removing vegetation. Currently, during that with the hazardous vegetation removal grant as it is, we're only looking at certain species. And Zone Zero looks at any type of species being a hazard within the 0 to 5. Could we apply that same methodology to any species to remove vegetation along streets to increase road safety and evacuation routes and off-street parking?
As a part of the eucalyptus or as part of the other species?
Hazardous vegetation removal program. So if I have a couple applications that were looking to improve their parking off-street situation, I would take their application that was denied from the initial hazardous vegetation removal subcommittee and pass that over to the evacuation route vegetation subcommittee and say, would you agree that this application would improve the overall community's benefit for removal and off-street parking in alignment with the district's goals for declaring red flag days and access to incidences for incoming inbound engines. And then they could review it and either approve or deny it. And then that would be another way for us to carry things forward, because the hazardous vegetation removal grant is very narrow with our expanding scope in our initiatives.
And would this be a program at like a an addendum to the current series of grants, or would this would be the next like grant application?
This could be an addendum to the series that we just approved. There's very limited number, maybe I think three applications that we could review. But it would also be a program change for future.
That
I think we should encourage it. When I drive around Kensington and I see people have parked their cars slightly off the road or one car that can do it on Purdue, it makes a lot of sense. And I did look at two, I didn't know about the third one. So one of them was on Yale. And when I drove to look at it, every other person on that particular portion of Yale and pulled their cars off the side of the road. The person that was applying to remove trees and shrubs, that house had just changed hands, new home. And so that was good. The other one was on the Willamette, and I think everyone here knows I would like to take all cars. But the guy that was applying for it, or maybe it was a woman, so you've got the street up here and then the sidewalk down here. And so in order for him to pull off, it would have been very awkward. He would have to build a retaining wall. So unless they're willing to make it really a spot for a car, I wouldn't approve it. But I definitely think the situation that we saw on Yale would be a good thing.
One last one. That north side of the Willamette?
It was on Willamette, it was on the south side.
Oh, there's still a big hole.
So when it comes to tree removal or any species, I think certain species are considered protected and you need permits to remove them. Is that would that override this in
I
this
didn't see
particular case?
any, but an oak might be
Like
protected.
a live oak is considered one over 12 inches, I believe. I know this because there's one in my yard that I'm looking to
Right, so
move.
at 4 feet up, the
The
diameter.
diameter matters, and I think the species, including sequoia redwoods or some sort. So I don't know if it could likely apply, but I think for definitely the species that we're looking at, they're more hazardous, right? But I don't know if that's something we should also consider
In
in
our
that.
first round, we did have a tree that was considered protective that we did get an exception for from the county.
Oh, how long does that permit process take usually?
I don't know.
Yeah, I've never tried to do it, but I hadn't seen any oaks right up to the street, and I don't believe there, except where I live, there's a redwood. There are six redwoods right up to the street, but I haven't seen any redwoods in Kensington right up.
Norwood.
Norwood.
Yeah.
That's west of the Orange.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah, in the waterfall.
It's a good point. But of the two houses that I looked at, there was mostly shrubs and
Nothing worth protecting, yeah. I think the safety is really important.
So if that's the case and there seems to be support for it, it sounds like for the finest details, you might want to go back to the subcommittee. And so since this is a change, the question is, does it need board approval? Because the board did approve the hazardous vegetation grant as it was originally, this next session was conceived. So don't see Mary anymore.
Mary had to get off for just a brief minute.
Oh, okay. Or also a general manager Miranda. I was just going to say GM Miranda. Susan.
Yeah, he's there.
Yeah, he's
Yeah,
there.
I would suggest that the committee, based on what Johnny's talking about, present a formal recommendation to making an addendum or an adjustment to the scope of the grant to the board for approval.
And then if we want to get that in and done fast, it's got to happen really fast because the
Well,
board meeting,
I can do
no,
that
weeks.
recommendation, have it ready for the next meeting, and then we'll figure out opening up another round. We have to figure that out when we're going to open up the vegetation grant again, if it's just going to be annual or what, whatever. We can figure that out later. Because I'm already getting questions on it, only because I have to provide answers. So we'll figure that out later.
Okay. So then what do you need from us? I mean, Johnny, do you need some of these details hashed out? Are you going to work with the subcommittee and then put it together? And also, does EPC should the EPC as a group say, "Hey, let's all vote on this to, so that we know that the subcommittee has the support for changing it." Thoughts?
Oh, yes, for inducting.
So yeah, how about
Still looks like we should.
I think you guys should, yeah. So the people who are not on the subcommittee, are you fine? Because I'm not on subcommittee. Are you fine approving whatever the subcommittee comes up with? You're on it. You're
That
not
would
on
be an alignment with how the other applications are handled.
Okay. Yeah. So okay. So everyone's in agreement. I know. I was like, I already know your answer. Okay, so everyone's in agreement. Subcommittee has the approval, or the is being encouraged to accommodate these specific issues. Johnny has raised. Good? Okay. Oh yeah, public comment.
I don't know if this is related, but it sounds like there's an option to ask a question like this. As I'm filling out, we're in the process of applying for a CAL FIRE grant right now, Fires of Kensington, and I'm being asked all these statistical questions, like data about how much we've achieved, and I don't even know how to ask the question. But it would be incredibly helpful to be able to have access to the statistics on what's being removed in the community from our perspective as applicants for CAL FIRE grants.
Yep.
And yet I know that there's a privacy issue, and I know, is there any way that we can let people opt into letting their removal be public information?
I think, Johnny, don't you provide
I can
statistics?
provide statistics that strip out all public information, and it can be, I mean, we can figure out how to do it creatively so that no one feels like they're being infringed upon. But yeah,
A
we can get creative
bubble.
about that. I mean, I have all
Yeah, I
the,
could
st
get
we
away
can
with
figure
a
it out.
bubble, like one of those
A pie
blurry
chart.
circles where you
Okay.
have no polygons, but it's just there's 7 acres. I mean, of removal in this particular region of Kensington. Something like that would be really fabulous. So yeah, getting creative is that would be fun.
And those kind of statistics I think are helpful for the board to see too, to see the fruits, or rather defruiting of the labor.
And I think that the other side of it is the Firewise lead now. I would love to know, like in my own area, like how much was removed and how successful we were, because then I could use that to inspire, to get some viral action going.
I mean, I would suggest Google Earth and drawing polygons, and then it'll tell you. That's my first
Gold
goal.
stars.
But you can also calculate the acreage that way too.
Well, that's the part that I think is kind of challenging, but Johnny, I'm happy to work with Johnny. Okay,
Okay.
great. Thanks.
And then the last component, I'm just going to touch on it lightly and just move on because this can be brought back later when we have time to reestablish a revised program. But it's very clear that if we go the route that the grant is written now, it has an expiration date because we're disqualifying people every time they apply for it. So then eventually there's an expiration date. So there have been a number of people that have come forward asking if they can if we can revise the program. And I've included in here some description that all of you can review, and we can talk about it later, about refining the program so that it's equitable and it still remains productive. So let me see, what's the next one? Item five, inquiries about insurance and rate reductions keep coming in for Firewise. So I'm continuing to direct people that are wondering about their insurance coverage to the Firewise website so they can download their certificate of recognition. We may have a new Firewise community developing on the Coventry Ardmore corridor. So somebody inquiry provided an inquiry, and I'm working with them to just give them some talking points. So we'll see. National night out block parties are being directed to register for their on the police website or the KPPCS, the Kenzie, whatever website, whatever URL, I'm directing them to that for to register their parties. It may be an opportunity for individual block hosts to provide messaging on red flag readiness and evacuation is your responsibility campaigns that we've already provided. So we'll see how that goes. Number six is the LRADs. I don't have anything for that. We talked about the red flag email that went out. And Paul spoke about the alerts and apps already. What else is here? For earthquake preparedness, I'm going to be circulating a request for availabilities to pull the subcommittee together to discuss the consolidated goals that we had put together for this work plan sometime after the July 4th holiday. So just an FYI. And then CERT. Their class registration, I think, is near full. And we're going to still keep people. What's that?
Wow, that's great. Great.
Okay. So we're going to still continue to take names and numbers of people who are interested in the class and continue to keep it open. Historically, it was always capped out at 30, and then they stopped taking names and numbers. I'm not going to do that. We're going to keep registering people and keeping that channel open with people who are interested in participating and volunteering with the community. I believe the class is been extended to Richmond CERT folks, so that way we can engage a cross jurisdictional relationship. And then CERT is going to have a booth at the 4th of July in El Cerrito, and they're looking for people to help with the booth and continue to get the message out about CERT. Laura, did you have anything else for that?
I'll be setting up the booth and breaking it down. It's going to be at the it's called what is the school on the corner of Moser and
That's Sierra Brockwood.
there. Yes. So that's where it's going to be, and it's going to be the fire department's going to be there and a few other vendors as well. It's already
This is July
pre-registered
4th.
July 4th. So if you want to stop by and say hello, if you're interested in sitting in a booth with me and several other people at CERT and kind of getting to do some more outreach and talk about preparedness, we'd love to have you.
What's the event named?
It's called World
One World or
One
something.
World. Let me bring it
World
up.
One.
Yeah.
It's the El Cerrito July 4th celebration.
Ah, they have a big banner on Moser on the school
Got it.
across from where the middle school used to be.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
It's, I think, very much focused around classic cars as well. So if you're into
Interesting.
classic
Really?
cars, yay.
Classic cars. I haven't seen classic cars there.
Okay.
But I got this email about a certain refresher on Monday.
Yes, yeah, so the refresher is being put on by the training rep for El Cerrito Fire Department. His name's Travis. So if you're interested in getting a refresher in your cert training, he has a class that he's holding.
From 5 to 9.
Yes.
Oh, dinner.
I know.
What's the date on that?
Potluck
When?
it.
When?
Potluck it. Bring dinner for everyone.
Yeah, we did. Not lucky, yes.
What's the
Okay.
date on that?
pulling it up right now. Sorry.
Okay.
It is on the 29th, which is Monday. Gosh.
That's also the day we have World Cat Watch.
I already emailed this to you.
You did?
Yep. You're
not so going. It's El Cerrito City
I'm coming to the refresher because I can't remember.
Yeah, it's with Travis Krampecker, which is the captain.
So he should come too.
But he's not.
Okay, so how about you? So how do I go about registering for that?
I can see about sending that up to the groups.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Send it out?
That'd
yes.
be great.
Yeah. It didn't look like great. You need to register.
I didn't see a registration. You can email.
You are supposed to register?
I didn't see a registration for it.
I just got this simple email. I think it was from Johnny. Maybe.
Johnny, did you send it out to the committee?
I'm not sure who these how I came about it, but it came today.
I did not. It may have come from CERT. They have.
It wasn't
I
you.
mean, I don't know. I don't know who may have sent it.
Because I wasn't on that email. So.
Okay. Any last comments from the
Carol Echo? That was it. The Carol
Echo.
Okay. Have a radio demonstration. The 7th.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
their radio day is the Saturday.
Yeah, sure. Yes. The thing here on the green is this Saturday with all the big radio set up. And, yeah.
11 to 5. Okay. Any last comments on the work plan? No. All right. So done with that. Moving on. It is 5:20. So time here. Discuss and finalize recommendation to the board on rebranding the fire club. Now, in the past, I guess before we consolidated. Johnny was doing the fire plug, and I think actually before he was doing it, I thought Kevin Padian and Larry Nagel were actually writing it. So, but now, I mean, at least before we consolidated, Mary, you know, it was Johnny's task for Mary. And so it now resides under the current general manager, Aranda, and then Johnny has produced at least one under the new district. Or no, it was two. And so, but this is a great
one.
Opportunity. What?
Just one.
Just one. This is a great opportunity for us to reconsider and rename it this fireplug. So weird. Like, what's a fireplug?
It also doesn't encompass all the activities.
Yeah, it's very, very focused. And we... it really should be its own, in my opinion. And you know, there's been a lot. Johnny collected all the stuff, but I personally think that this is a great time to make it more emergency preparedness service. And so, Johnny, take it away.
Yeah, just briefly. So there's that document that's in the. It's like 10 pages of feedback. Most of it's consolidated, and then Laura did provide a really good breakdown, which I wanted to. You know, highlight as well for the input that she provided. But essentially, what do we do with it now? You know, like what can be done, and which direction does this go? So like if I was to receive this, I mean in a separate setting outside of Kensington and present a proposed document of what that looks like with all these components, it would be a pretty extensive pitch. Development. So I just want to see the direction from general manager with the feedback from the committee members to see, okay, this is what we want to see developed and pitched. So I don't know. I kind of feel like I need a little bit more because there's a lot here that can be worked with, but that's going to take a lot of energy toward developing something to bring back as a pitch.
General Manager, did you have a chance to read all of the feedback that Johnny collected in organizing?
I did, yeah, and it was good. My thought process, and I don't know if all of you would agree, would be for me to work with Johnny on, as he's calling it, a pitch. But I believe that this should be something that is acceptable to the full board. I agree that we need to move forward. I don't want to do it and then have some board members question what we're doing. So I'm happy to work with Johnny. I'm happy to work with a committee. I'm happy to work with the total EPC. But I think my opinion is there was really good input that we can compile to turn into a presentation of what we'd like to do for the community.
To the board.
To the board, but for the benefit of the community. Yeah.
I know, I thought David Spath had concerns about overlap and duplicating information like with the Outlook, but I think that based on what has been presented, it's very clear that that's going to be completely separate. Is there any concern from have you heard of any concern outside other than I know just David Beck before he left, he had mentioned it. That was one of his concerns.
I don't I'm not discounting the outlook, but I think that the Kensington Community Service District should stand alone in information being presented to our community. And that involves what we're in the middle of doing right now with working with Kimber Communications and getting this two websites into one. And hopefully, the electronic portion, social media portion, there's a lot of moving pieces here that I think a hard copy newsletter is a piece of the puzzle, not the full puzzle itself. And that's why the loop I'm recommending is, be it me and Johnny, and then whatever you feel, Danielle, is best on individuals on the EPC. But at the same time, we would probably pull Kimber Communications in to also have some input and also make sure we're tying we're we have a common message that we're trying to present in different modes of communication.
A clarification on Kimber. They're just organizing the website. Are they a public not are they like a public outreach or like a type
Public
of company?
relations.
Yeah, communications.
That's her. She has done work for a number of different agencies. Right now, I think she's actually, I don't know if she's an employer or a consultant for a Marin Fire. But the focus on her, the agreement that the board approved that we're going forward with is to take the fire website information and properly move it to its the proper spots. And what I mean by that is we've got information that definitely needs to be on a KCSD website. We've got information that needs to be properly stored for historical reasons. And then we more than likely have information that should be tossed. That's the first process that we've met with. Mary is working with them on that. But her background and the work she's done for us on other aspects of the website, and she produces the quarterly newsletter that we've started putting out about a year or so ago. And I have a lot of confidence in her ability to provide input. I'm not saying she's going to be in charge of it, but I definitely want to get input from her with her knowledge base.
Okay. So she produces that quarterly newsletter. I did not appreciate that.
What now?
I didn't connect that she
Oh,
produces that
okay.
news. But you provide all the specific content to her, correct?
Well,
Like.
I typically try to get information from the two chiefs, from Johnny, from Rosa, and then knowing what's going on with board meetings, try to compile all that, and then I throw it all at her, sometimes in a very unorganized manner, and I ask her to try to make it read into a decent newsletter. And just for everyone's benefit in the room, the newsletter that we generate, that the KPPCSD and now the KCSD newsletter that we've generated, the concept of that newsletter was general information, maybe with some happenings that are going on. And it is on a one page front and back sheet of paper. The hard copy is because it is stuffed, as probably many of you know, it is put in with the bill from Bayview, which provides a significant savings to us on the cost of postage and mailing and getting it done. The idea of that newsletter as opposed to a and I like some of the comments about some of the names too, but of a emergency preparedness newsletter, I personally believe that that's a separate communication tool that we should use.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think my impression is I never conceptualized it as being a part of the general kind of like district news. To
Yeah,
me,
right.
this feels very, very targeted, very, very specific information that tends to want to have more specifics
Right.
in giving information. So.
I think we have to remember that the wildfire earthquake situations are life-threatening. Is there anything else that in that newsletter, because I looked at it, isn't anything that's even close to that? They should not be mixed. In my opinion,
And what
these are
would
serious issues, and I'm not saying the others aren't, but they are different categories, way different.
And is the purpose just educating, or is it to enact, participation?
That's
That's,
next to be discussed.
yeah, I think that's where
at
the
least I
focus
just
should
don't
be.
think that these are just fit into the regular category of
Oh
things
no,
we
yeah.
discuss. Sewage and garbage pickup. I mean,
Yeah,
those are critical
that's
too in their own
information.
way, but they don't compare.
Yeah, and that's not, I mean, that's informational from the district to the public, right? Of what's going on. That's the transparency point, right? Where this is not only like information on how, and the vision that I sent in the fire plug would be more not only informational, but engaging so that the community starts to
Yeah, that's fine.
not only take it seriously, but also want to participate because they find it intriguing, maybe, or maybe poignant to them. So I don't know.
That it would be a publication that generates a sense of pride for the community.
And there's a lot going on, and that's the thing. There's a lot going on within this part, this in this co discussion, like in this topic, and so I think that's just what makes the emergency preparedness like. I did like the resiliency report. That sounded fun. Funny but awesome. So basically, if there are any other comp, basically, if I understood you correctly, David, that you are going to work with Johnny on the rebranding of this.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to do and bring something to the board because there's obviously a cost involved in this and we've got to address that. I'm not overly concerned about it, but there is a cost involved and it's I think it's important also what we've done, what Kimber has done with the quarterly newsletter that we do in conjunction with the Bayview mailings, is we've enlarged upon it on the social electronic image, and we've gathered a pretty good email listing. Well, I say pretty good. We have a number of people on an email mailing list that we can all, we also send the newsletter electronically, and then we put it on the website. So that's another aspect of what we need to look at is, do we have a, how important is a, I'm gonna exaggerate, a very expensive 16 page hard copy newsletter to be mailed to all residents, as opposed to a less size of a hard copy, but a larger size electronic version. I'm not asking for answers on that. I'm just saying that those are the things that we need to look at from a cost standpoint, and a printing, printing, postage, the whole thing.
I mean, going back to the district, is the former fire district has had this as part of their cost for a long time. So there is a concern that what we currently have in the budget for this publication is going to change. Is it? I mean, there, or I guess we can ask, we should ask. I mean, that's, I guess, a board budget-ish question, really, right?
Yeah, I think, and I'm sure Johnny feels, we're more than happy to talk, come up with some preliminary ideas, bring it back to the EPC, and then go to the board.
Okay. All right.
Maybe the budget is based on what needs to be done, as opposed to setting the budget to begin with. We look to see what comes together and what
You
you
also got to measure the benefit versus the
know.
cost.
Cost benefit,
Well, considering that, at least what, a third, or what did Levine say, or Director Levine? There's like a third of this community is what, over 65, and so they may be, I mean, you guys are obviously a wonderful exception, but they may not be like doing email. And that's what my concern is.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind.
But also the price. So if it's $2,350, and that's the price from last year, I know that the prices have gone up on everything. So
There's no doubt in my mind the importance of a hard copy.
I know, I agree. But I would also say that what I get in my East Bay refuse bill, that's how I learned about Red Flag and the streets that were being involved. That was in last, I don't know if it was last time or the time before. That's how I knew about it. And I would also have to say, my friends that all can read didn't read it, didn't see it. So I don't think that people are looking in their bills and pulling it out. So I think the plug actually comes in your mail, and
It's got all the
information. It's a separate issue.
Separate issue.
It's not a single sheet of paper, so it's kind of hard to hide.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of cumbersome and right. And I kept them all. I mean, they had enough information in them that I wanted to be able to continue the book out.
Yeah.
I think they're very valuable.
Yeah,
I
the
love
list.
some of the names, and I think you did a fantastic job.
Yes.
Thank you. That was fun.
It is fun. There was something I was going to say to that. Yes, I know. I'm on auto pay for my garbage bill. So I just don't even know.
Right.
Exactly.
People don't necessarily see it.
But it's even worse with email, because
Yes.
if you don't have time right now, you just skip over it. You might forget to go down there and open it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Some stuff from the district, I mean, well, I actually do look at everything from the district now.
But the rest of us with normal email, that comes in, and oh, it's something kind of long. That takes time later. And that's what the evacuations with anything that has to do with emergency preparedness. You get it out in as many various forms as you can, and something's going to get to somebody's, to get one way or the other. It's like redundancy.
Yeah, I was going to say redundancy.
Can I say it again?
Please do. Yeah, redundancy really makes a difference.
Definitely.
It's a critical part of communication outreach. Great. Okay, so I guess David and Johnny have their, they know what they're doing. So I look forward to what you come back with. So that definitely, that's a future agenda item for us, right? For the next EPC meeting. Okay, here's my agenda. Evaluation. Okay, so update from GM and Johnny on fire blood rebrand. Fire blood rebranding. Okay. Future agenda item number one. Okay. Let's see. All right. Final closing comments.
Just one quick one again. This might not be applicable, but is there a date for the combined website yet? There's a lot of us pointing to pages, and we're going to have to completely redress that. So,
Here he is.
no, we don't have a date.
I'm just trying
I
to plan
can't
ahead.
say that again.
I was just trying to plan ahead because, like, I have like three websites pointing to the two websites that exist now. So just wanted to be prepared when the switch happens so that I can go back and point to the correct pages on the websites that I'm in. So
Okay.
yeah.
When I get a projected date, I'll have Rachel send information out to the group.
Well, yeah, that'd be great because
That'd be
then
perfect.
that'll get it to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or yeah,
That would be helpful. That'd be good.
if there's a staging site or there's a preview site that they're going to set up in the process of development, that would be helpful too, so that people who are developers have a little heads up and time to.
Yeah, to get ready for
Yeah.
the switch.
Yeah.
That's thank you for bringing that up. Okay, Nick. On to discussing school evacuation concerns. All right. So this came out of a conversation last our last meeting, and basically, and also, the way I see it here is the important part is that school has new regulations and new plans for how they respond to different emergencies. In particular, wildfires. And so we attached the part of, I asked for the school site safety plan from the principal like a week ago or two, and she sent it to me. So you have the most recent current version. That version gets updated every once a year. So basically, she starts working on it at the beginning of the year, because new teachers have to go into new roles and stuff like that, and then it gets approved and then it's up. Then it is what it is. It's not a operational doc, it's not a, what's it called? It's not the document like the go-to, like this is what you do. It's a general, like general operational document. And so you can see that the newest version has the new protocols that we established with the fire chief and the fire marshal, and they in conjunction they were working. So that part of the document that is new happened between the fire chief, fire marshal, and the school district, safety school district. I had meetings along the side, but basically it's those two entities that came up with this protocol. And to address the one definite concern, well, one of the concerns of the 45 mile per hour minimum, basically, the reason why he added that is to address for the times where you have red flag days, so the school would not be closed. However, the wind speeds are high enough for him to be concerned about the amount of time it takes to respond. And so here's how he described it. In his mind, when he considers the time of response, that time of response, it gets smaller the higher the winds go. All the other conditions, don't worry about that, their response time shortens with the increase in wind velocity. So basically, if there is an extreme hazard wind day, which is more or less like Berkeley purple, more or less, I mean, that's Berkeley's rubric. And Berkeley Fire has their own rubric. So El Cerrito and Kensington don't. They rely on the National Weather Service call for Red Flag Day or Particularly Dangerous Situation Day. And then, so, but that's kind of how they think about it in all of those humidity, wind speed, temperature, etc. And basically, the only reason why he specified the 45 was to make sure if there was just a red flag day, but he felt the conditions were such that it should be a PDS for our area, then he added the 45. So it was really an elevating thing to make sure. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. If you're referring to that meeting that we had 3 months ago, first of all, that language hasn't changed a bit, as far as I can tell. The only thing they added new, as far as I can tell, again, I did not read 108 pages, but I went through it pretty carefully, and it's at all at the end, and it's about CPR and what people on site should do. Fine. My concern during that meeting 3 months ago, and I'm going to stick to it, the wording was so confusing. That, let's face it, I talked to a bunch of you about it before I brought it up to Chief Sailors. And everybody, there was no exception, interpreted that statement as indicating that that the conditions required for closure would be a high fire danger defined as either a PDS or red flag day, including, I'm going to emphasize it again, including 45 mile an hour winds, not or. And so I don't think, as I was accused of in during that meeting, of missing the point. I don't think I missed the goddamn point. I think the point was not clearly
Was not
explained.
really
Not at all. Not
written.
even close.
Well,
So, and I think I'm worried a little bit too. Does the school understand what that means? Because I certainly didn't, and nor did anybody here that I've talked to. And that needs to be straightened out. And I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here if you give me freedom to do that, is also this business about that's an issue with the fire board and the chiefs don't report to the fire board. And I mean, they can't, I'm sorry, they don't have authority over the fire boards. That doesn't mean they don't have a lot of it. I mean, who in the fire district is going to know more about when a danger is in your face than the fire chief and the police along with them? They have a lot of clout, even if it's not something that's an org chart. And I would hope that that would get used. And I would hope that language gets straightened out. And I hope that the fire district people, that is the staff at Kensington Elementary School, knows what all this really means.
So, okay,
Do they train us?
to that, what I can do is I can work with the principal about that language, and that's something that's within the school district, because that's a school district that's doing. So what I can do is I can talk to the principal and make sure that the principal and the school district has a safety officer that helps prepare these for each individual school. They are not only clear, but maybe work on clarifying that language.
Yeah, because during the meeting with the chiefs, I was told that why don't I or somebody from the EBC go, as I recall, I listened to the tape again too, go to the fire just to go to, sorry, the
The
school
school
board.
district.
Really? I mean,
Well, but
I'm not going to go to the
that is
fire
the
board. That's a chief's job.
that that's a that is the entity, because yes, I can.
I respect the entity. I just wonder who conveys that information to them. It shouldn't be in somebody like me. It should be somebody with scrambled eggs and like that.
Okay. But I can work on a part of that. So,
Yeah,
okay,
just
good.
something.
Is this information made available to the parents?
Yes. Well,
Do the parents have to come up with the idea of looking for something like this, or is it available
Yeah, and
for
so
whatever?
I'm going to end up having to
They, they
work
should
with the
the parents
principal.
the parents should know, and they should review it, and it's like, oh, that's okay, or like, wait a second, you know, and then you better.
Yeah, actually, that's a great thing for
Yeah.
me to work on today.
Good point.
I am getting my kindergartner starts in the fall,
It may
so
have a party, you may have this and that, but these are
already.
the parents, these are their children.
Yep.
End of story.
Well, there should be something, you know, when my son was in school and he would go on a field trip, something would come home, I would have to sign it, and he then had permission to go.
Right.
It would be interesting that all the students at the school, their parents would somehow define what their situation is and what their expectation is in this kind of situation.
Be aware of what is being done, and what's not being done. Be aware.
Well, so basically, the PTA leave for the emergency prep committee equivalent for the PTA board. I'm on with another one, a woman, but she's not on anymore. And basically, last couple of years, we've sent out a safety emergency preparedness sheet saying, you know, sign up for CWS, be aware, expect texts from the district, and stuff like that. And so, I think it might be worth it to now, since the to call out the fact that this protocol has changed. So, what I can do is everything's up for the summer, but maybe I'll work on coming up with something. And then, I mean, it's not an appropriate thing to talk about here for us because we don't, but I will maybe do like an informal, you know, a public, like, here's where I am with it.
Is it electronic communication between the school and all the students or all the parents?
Say that again.
Is it electronic
Oh,
communication?
yeah. There's all kinds of communication. So and there's Peach Jar, there's all this stuff. So yes.
Slightly different concern. I think that probably the school has a reasonably good plan in the event of a fire on how they are going to evacuate children. I'm going to assume that that's going to work out okay, and basically it's to take them down and to tow them into a Kensington Park area and put them down
Jim, I
below.
don't think they have any plan.
They don't.
But
So,
not even close.
but Jim, you're
That's the
saying,
problem.
but
Yeah,
Jim, you're saying you assume
didn't have
that
that.
they have a reasonable plan. So
I
then you
did.
will
I did see
reasonable
something to that effect.
about
But
purity.
wait,
I want to go away from that. Okay, if that isn't clear, if that isn't clear, then that needs to be addressed also. But
Yeah, but
I'm
you've
not
seen that.
sure.
I'd like to know where it is.
Okay,
It's written down.
it's not there.
Okay, there we go.
So, and there's a reason why. It's because those plans were in process, but then we had to focus on the school closure as the first
Red
avenue to
flag
go.
things. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I need to sit down with the principal and start talking about evacuation. But basically, it's going to be we had safety meetings last fall or 2 falls ago now, where we walked around with the fire marshal and the fire chief. Yeah, that was at least one of those. And where we were discussing for the evacuation what to do. And basically, they said we'd probably either call a temporary refuge area where they, and that is something that even Kensington residents can take advantage of. So basically, because the buildings don't have fire sprinklers, the safest place for them to congregate is, you know, on the blacktop. You know, and then be, you know, defended by fire, essentially a fire engine. So that is something that was told to me during that, because we were saying asking the same thing, what's going to happen? How do we evacuate? And so basically they were like, well, we'd probably tell you to, you know, this is the temporary refuge area, and those were the kind of conversations that we were having. Nothing official, but I suspect if it all depends on time. And so if there's close fire and there's no way to evacuate, then you got to keep them there and you got to defend the kids from fire. If there's 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, in some cases other schools have MOUs where they have buses come up. That's going to be a real issue because, and that's going to conflict with Kensington evacuation of Kensington. and our residents, so we need to let them know, assuming that, evacuation by bus is a plan. So
For Kensington?
for no, for the elementary school.
But that's
For
quite a
Kensington
few.
Elementary School.
I don't know if it's a plan.
Kensington doesn't have a single bus. There are
No.
500 people in that school. Do I have to say any more?
Correct. Well, and also the question is, where do you stage the buses? And
We don't.
I mean, well, Red Flag Day will help with that, Red Day for parking, because now Arlington's going to be open,
Same
and
thing.
also per Kenyon. Oh, Kenyon,
Westminster,
Westminster, Kenyon,
Purdue.
Purdue. Yep. So in that case, that clears an access point to the school for school evacuation, and also which helps also the surrounding residents, Kensington residents, and that those are what we need to focus on here. So, but these questions are good for me to bring back to the principal, because I mean, because I can do them.
That's fine. That's good.
I didn't quite finish
Oh
earlier.
yeah, I'm sorry, Jim.
Okay, I agree that we need to do more about how we're going to handle the evacuation. Okay, that isn't where I wanted to go. And what I'd like to bring to the board, and hopefully maybe by the next meeting, is that we need to have a plan for how we're going to get our fire trucks up to the school. I can tell you that if, in fact, a fire is coming out of Tilden Park, it's going to be absolute chaos with people trying to come up and get their kids. There is absolutely no way you will be able to get fire trucks up to the school. They're going to be blocked off with all these cars. So, let me finish. So, there's another route that they can take, which I think we need to work on, and I will bring it to the board probably by our next meeting, which is to come up by way of down by the road that has the signal on the Arlington, and you come up
Kensington Park.
past the library, up that steep hill, and right up to the school. Right now, that is closed off, as you know, with kids. We need to make that the emergency access route for our fire engines. And to do that, I've walked that. We need to have that road worked on and improved. So I just want to let you know. It's my intention to bring that up at our next meeting. That should be one of the things that we are spending our money on to make sure that we can get emergency vehicles up to the school.
So, and then when you do that, please, Jim, will you also bring it up with the fire chief and see if that's a feasible, if that sounds feasible to him? And then also, if you're bringing fire equipment in there, you're going to have, well, I know, like on my property that I had on Summit Road, I put in a 50-foot turnaround for fire trucks, but that's what going one smaller trucks. So you have to have a turnaround. For them also. It can't just be, road access again. You've got to have that. So that would require road work there too.
Like
So bring that
the
up
fire
to you.
can't come up.
The other thing
The
is
fire
to
trucks
stage
will
a fire truck up there.
be still
The other thing is to stage a fire truck up there if you're concerned, but not
concerned.
enough to.
So Kensington Park,
Agree.
Road right now
Okay.
is signed as an evacuation route. It's chained in such a way, and the EPC and Kevin and Larry pushed this through in 2021, pre-COVID, the Kensington Park Road, creating the emergency this the sign on either side of the chains. Are the signs gone?
It's a fire.
I think they are gone, but I don't know.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about, and
Yeah,
yes, it
so.
originally was going to be an evacuation route for residents.
Oh, well, I mean, it's a road for evacuation for anybody.
What I'm concerned about is we will not be able to get fire trucks up to the school in the event of an emergency.
Yeah.
It's going to be total chaos. Everybody's going to be coming to pick up their kids. It's going to be jammed up with automobiles.
So then we should assume that that's not going to happen. Then, so what do we do then? So let's have another plan, assuming that there will not be fire trucks available to be on the scene for that. Then what?
I think so. The problem here is that we are thinking about what our fire chief would do, and I've been in so many conversations where our a priori knowledge and assumptions are completely wrong.
Yes.
So basically, it's possible Generally, he stages fire trucks, but for your concern specifically, I would suggest emailing the fire chief and asking him if it's a problem and what the boards can do, what the district can do for him. Because that's got to come from him. Because he's the one, and their incident command are going to be calling those shots. And I mean, we could speculate for days on what's going to happen, but really, the answer is going to come from the chief. And so you, as a board member, have access to the chief at all times, and you can email him, whenever you want. I think
I
that's
agree.
the most efficient and effective way to address your concern, which is important. I agree with your concern. I
It's
do.
super almost
It's,
Yeah, I know. So,
Jim just
but.
said all you're doing is asking for a plan. What's the plan?
So, but we can't.
That's what he
We shouldn't.
said.
We shouldn't speculate because the person who has the answers is a person you can ask. You have the power.
If the person that I'm going to text has the answers, then why don't we have a plan for what we're going to do?
Uh,
Good
you could well
Pardon? Good point.
you gotta ask you gotta
Yeah.
it's a very reasonable question.
But I will text him. It's okay. Okay.
Definitely. I think that is that's the operational, because this committee, and depending on what he says, if you want to bring it back to the committee, if it's something that the committee can recommend the board to recommend, that would work.
I was only mentioning it because I was thinking about taking it to the board independent of coming from our committee. But I would agree with you that before I do that, I should at least send an email out to the chief and find out if he would concur that this might be the safest way to get emergency vehicles up to the school.
If he finds that there's a problem with that, then from there, what needs to be done?
And then what? Okay.
We did a survey in Red Tail Ridge at our mixer, and one of the questions, it was an evacuation survey, and we only got 12 responses, but out of those 12 responses, every parent for the question that we asked, the question was, are you planning to go pick up your child before you evacuate? And every single parent said yes. I just thought it was the kind of interesting. It was one of those questions that I asked.
Every time there's like, so for any kind of like,
Everyone, we got no one can hear. It's echoing. I was like,
So real quickly, like, so for any kind of disaster that happens, like for say unspoken or horrible active shooter situations, they have a reunification like situation where they hold the kids in place and then they bring them to a place where they can pick them up afterwards, right? But then, how do we move them and what's the shelter in place actually looking like?
That's conceptualized within the school. I mean, I've seen the not the plans, but that's been talked about, and there has been suggested protocols for those types of things. And that type of reunification plan can be applied in some cases for parental pickup, but if there's like 4 hours that the school has, it kind of makes sense that you could do something. But if you have like a 2 hour response time, then I mean, it's not all the parents are going to get there. So it really is, it's a hard problem that the school needs to solve. And I think one thing I will take away from this is to let the principal know how many people really care about what the school is going to do. And the principal has said herself, and also why she supported the idea of closure, because she was concerned. She is concerned about that for sure. Okay,
One thing that can happen, and my daughter's school, my grandchildren's school had to be evacuated due to a fire up in Alta. And the parents who were around in town took more kids. And because not everybody is close enough to get to them. And so I think that's another consideration. You may have just a third or a quarter the number of cars actually coming because the others are not in town. Mm-hmm. So then you need the reunification
location.
Yeah. Well, also the other thing is also we've talked about making a flyer to send out to the parents of saying, hey, if you need to have three people to authorize who picks people up, because most people will just put a parent or something else or somebody far away. Mm-hmm. And it does not account for allowing for a super pick, quick pickup. And so we, and by district, you have to like go with who's on the list for pickup.
Mm-hmm.
So these concerns are all definitely being they're thought of and considered very slowly. Mm-hmm. But I'm starting again this year. So
is there a good Samaritan law in that case? Perhaps.
I don't know, but I think it goes under district, somebody from the district. But it is 603, and I'm actually, we got to go. I don't mean to cut this short, and we didn't really, of course, get to like the adding it to the evacuate Kensington. I think there's a lot more to these policies that we can apply to our evacuation is your responsibility campaign. Yep. And mm-hmm. I think that if I can get to the school and then come back with some more information, maybe we can discuss it some more, like how we can integrate keeping Kensington residents safe in the event that school has to evacuate, because mm-hmm. that's a safety concern for both entities. And we have the ability, and it's under our scope, to tailor, programs and outreaches and communication towards that effect.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Okay. General Manager Renda.
I got to get going, but I wanted to mention two things to the group. One is some of you may be aware that a group of individuals did a rather thorough park hardening specific to our buildings in Kensington and the dangers they saw from a fire standpoint. I had a meeting with them a few weeks ago, and the plan right now as it stands is they're coming back with a to-do list in order of priorities as the way they see it. And my thinking is we're going to have a board discussion about that. The other thing, and Johnny may have more to add, but the district is working with Cheryl Drinkwater, I believe is her name.
Yeah, Drinkwater. Yes.
And basically, we're entering in as requested agreements, where a small amount of money is paid to Diablo Fire Council for her to do a hardening presentation to the various, well, I think it's two right now. I think she's done one and she has another one on her calendar to the FireWise communities.
Well, then hopefully we're doing those kinds of presentations in Kensington in the future, and we won't need to pay for those.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
That's
gonna be
embarrassing. Can I change subject for just a second?
Oh,
it's for David and Mary.
Because we're in the final stuff. So go ahead.
Because it was supposed to be addressed in this meeting. I'd like to know if either Mary or David could comment on the status of who has the keys to the gate to open the Kensington Cemetery. I think that's critical. It's being my own
And that information should be, if you can get a hold of Kevin Payne or Larry Nagel.
So they were going to look at it.
Okay.
He's going to also get a call.
And Mary's not here, but I don't know if you have any information on that.
I didn't hear the question.
The question was, where are the keys to unlock the gate to the upper part of the cemetery?
I don't know where the keys are. I met with some individuals that lived on Sunset. It is my opinion that we need to do this. We need the cemetery gates. And my suggestion, which I'm still trying to get sorted out, is to put a lockbox with a combination on the gates, both off Sunset and the one that runs down outside the cemetery on the other side. And then the combination could be given out to various individuals with the key that unlocks the gate inside of it, as opposed to trying to track down keys. I don't know if anyone knows where they are.
No, too.
We have some people here think that they might, we know where some of them are.
Mm-hmm. You do know two of them?
Yeah, they put two keys on.
You know where two are? Oh, and Peter has one.
So I'm going to hang out with her.
Sorry, but I think that has to be ascertained and solved yesterday.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, I don't care how it's done, but that gate needs to be open. On the other hand, I do know that just about any average passenger car could ram that gate enough to little spring open. That's not what you want to count on. Yeah. You don't want to count on, I've mentioned this before, you don't want to count on people bringing both cousins up there. You want to have a plan, and one that's feasible and can be done quickly and period.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and it's been settled already with the president of the cemetery. He's welcomed us. He's welcomed us.
You said you know the two people that have. Can you contact?
I know two people that have. I can only remember two of the names now, but that's what I'm saying. Larry Maribel and Peter one, and Chris Deppy's the other. That I remember.
We can adjourn it now.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Pause for a second. I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 6:09 p.m. Next meeting is July 23rd, 4 p.m. in person. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.